Thank you, Ben, so much. You totally messed me up at the cross. I didn't know what songs were going to be sung today. And, David didn't either, evidently. You did awesome, Dave. And so I will put some disclaimers out there. There might be some yelling. There might be some crying from me. And there might be some silence if I lose my words. But I pray that God will give them to me. Summer's over. Just want to let you know. Actually, yesterday it snowed in the sanctuary. We just replaced the roof and the shingles outside. So when you go outside, look at our beautiful brand new roof. It needed to be done. You can see we had some issues. All the plywood had to be replaced. So all the banging made it snow. And we had fun cleaning that up yesterday. But summer's gone, and, you know, looking over the summer, went by very fast, a lot of busyness, but a lot of great memories that I've made with my family, but there's always bad news. I mean, just in the past few weeks, there's been a lot of bad news in our nation, in our community, so we need some good news, and that's what I'm here to share with you this morning, some good news to remind us of some things, just like what we just did, reminding us of what was done on that. You know, Pastor Nick did a message where, you know, he quoted Vince Lombardi, and he had a football. He said, "We got to get back to the basics. Here's a football." And Pastor Nick said, "We need to get back to the basics. Here's the Bible." Well, we need to get back to the basics. There's the cross. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Because we need to build our faith on a firm foundation. I was in San Francisco last week, twice actually, and I was reminded of this building. I was sitting with my first officer. We were looking outside, and there was this huge building, and they have like 10 stories of screens, and there's people dancing on top of this building. But it reminded me of another building that was built about 10 years ago, and it's called the Millennium. The Millennium was built, there were million-dollar condos, two-bedroom, two-bath, $1 million, penthouses, $10 million. One problem, it started to sink. And lean. It has sunk so far 30 inches and is leaning 16 inches. Not a good foundation. They've come to find out, even though they say it's safe, the experts, I mean, I would not want to live in that building, especially paying $1 million. That, you know, there's earthquakes in San Francisco. Things shake. But the experts say it's safe, but they've figured out a way to fix it. And the fix is going to cost more than the building costs to construct. Because they found out that they did not take their foundation, their piers, down far enough. They only went about 100 feet. They need to go about 300 feet, even though they say it should have been good enough. But they didn't anchor into the bedrock. And we're going to anchor into the bedrock today, and that's Jesus Christ. So our foundation will not move, will not shake. It will stay firm. Now, coming up with this message, another disclaimer, and I'll confess to you that it is not my own. Now, I have a list of messages that I've come up with, and I'll read some of the titles to you, but have not been done, have not been completed, have not been finished, and this message came later. So one was distracted, raking leaves, death on my lawn. Another one was titled, "Thy Kingdom Come, Thy Will Be Done, What is thy kingdom?" Another one was taking inventory, the stuff we forget we have. And the last one, which I have most notes for, stepping in it, the poop of life. Whose feet are you washing? But this is the one that God has confirmed to me over and over, because I have lists. It was funny, and you probably have lists too, But I found a list on my desk, and my desk is chaos. My wife doesn't come in my office because it's chaos. But I found lists from years ago that haven't been finished. And because we're trying to prioritize things to do in the house, and so, okay, here's the six items. So Lisa wrote her priorities. I wrote mine. And guess what? We had the same one on the top, very first, and it hasn't been done. It's not finished. So you might have lists. I have lists here too. I mean, I have more work to do here. There's always something to do in the church. There's always something to do at home. We are not going to get it all done, no matter how we try. There's only one individual that existed on this earth that finished it all. And that's where we're going today. So our first, another disclaimer. This is the first time I've ever used 10 different versions of the Bible. There you go. In my study, and they're all real. I just want to let you know, I've actually put them on the bottom of your listening guide. There, you know, you can see how they all came about. But I needed to stretch myself. I want you guys to be stretched. We'll stretch together so we don't get cramps. So here's the first verse. We had communion, okay? That was Thursday night. This is a few hours later. This is now Friday. And they call this Good Friday. But why is being hung on a cross good? Why is that good? Well, we'll discover why. It wasn't good for our Lord. And here, we're going to do, so if you have a pen, we're going to do some underlining. Back to kindergarten, some coloring, if you feel led to. So let's read. And this is John. John was the first eyewitness. He was an eyewitness. He was standing there watching Jesus be crucified. So we can take him at his word. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, right, underline, all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, underline fulfilled, said, I thirst. Now a vessel full of sour wine was sitting there, and they filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on hyssop, and put it to his mouth. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. So I wanted you to see a few things. If you were to look in your Bible, some different versions other than the NASB, it will say, he shouted, it is finished. It is finished! Does that sound like someone who's about to die? Another thing I want you to notice is that, like the things we underline, all things were now accomplished and the scriptures fulfilled. The next verse is John 6:38. For I have come down from heaven. So this is Jesus after he fed the 5,000. All right? And he's talking to his disciples. For I've come down from heaven. Now I found 31 different reasons why Jesus came. And I'll post them on Facebook later, because it would take too long to go over. Not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. That would be our Father in heaven. Also, John 4:34, this is Jesus at the well with a Samaritan woman. Jesus said to them, and he's talking to his disciples, my food is to do the will of him, Father, who sent me, and to completely finish his work. So I asked my first officer this. We're flying back all-nighter from San Fran, and I said, who killed Jesus? And he goes, it was that Roman guy. And I said, Pontius Pilate? He said, yeah, him. He said, nope. Then it was the Jewish dudes that were in power then. I said, no. Because if you read, bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. Jesus was not killed. He gave himself up. He didn't have to die. He was God. He could have sent his army from heaven, which is eventually going to come, and taken over the place. But that was not the will of the Father. So three most important words that we can see that might be in your life is, it is finished. Might be in history. Because if it's not finished, there is, you have no hope. We have no hope. There is no purpose for today. No power for your problems. No peace in your heart. No place in heaven. And no pardon for your sin. And this is the amazing thing, is when Jesus said it, nobody got it. You know, if you think when he said it, you know, the Roman soldiers said, oh, yeah, at least we'll be able to get off early today. He's finished. Or the Jewish leader said, well, he's out of our hair now. We don't have to worry about him anymore. We can get back to business of religion. Or Pontius Pilate said, well, I guess that takes care of that. No one got it. So what was finished on the cross? We need to understand some stuff before we get there. I have 5 points about what was finished on the cross, but we need to have some understanding before we get there. And the first is, the book of John was written in Greek. Now, if you remember, when Jesus was crucified, he had a sign over his head. Everybody remember what it said? King of the Jews. What was it written in? It was written in 3 different languages, Aramaic, Latin, and Greek. Now, Aramaic was the language of that area, okay? Latin was because the Romans were occupying that area. The Greek was the common language, second common language. Everybody knew Greek because in order to get along with everybody, to do business, trade, and that, Greek. Plus, it was a very widespread language. So, let's look at the Greek word for it is finished. And it's actually one word. And I've been practicing this word for like 3 weeks because it's Greek. It's all Greek to me. Tetalestai. Got messed up this morning. I was told it was said differently, but that's what we're going with. Tetalestai. So that's what Jesus said on the cross. Tetalestai, because he wanted everyone to hear. But he wanted everybody to know something greater than it is finished. And so when you look, this word was used in society in many different ways. If a servant came back from doing his job, he would come back to his master and say, Tetalestai, it's finished. If the judge would act, someone was convicted and his sentence was served, he would proclaim, Tetalestai. If, as an accounting term, if you paid your taxes and you went to the tax guy and he would stamp your bill, Tetalestai, painful. If the artist finished his picture or sculpture and it was beautiful, it was done, it was complete, Tetalestai. If the priest, and this is blew my mind, when the priest finished his offering for the day, Tetalestai, the offering is done. And guess what? All those are metaphor for the cross. This is what Jesus wanted us to hear and understand. There are so many mysteries that we need to discover, and we only can discover them if we seek them. And here's a little another side thing that I'll post on Facebook, but the time that Jesus was on a cross was 6 hours. From the 3rd to the ninth hour. That was basically considered from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. At the end, he says, tetelestai. Guess when the priest did their sacrifices? From 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Tetelestai. It's finished. So what was finished? Well, the Old Testament will show us that there were over 380 prophecies for Jesus. 380. Talking about this guy that's coming to save us all. And those were all fulfilled. Thousands of promises of God from me to you are all throughout Scripture. And those were fulfilled also. 2 Corinthians 1:20 says, for all God's promises have been fulfilled in Christ with a resounding yes. And through Christ, our amen, which means yes, ascending to God for his glory. I need some bubba. It's water. So we need to understand now three things to be reminded of before we can get really more understand the cross. To be refreshed by this great news. It's not for me. It's not just good news. It is great news. It's better than good. It's life everlasting. So we need to review a few things about God. God is a God of love. I'm sorry. God is a God of laws and order. God is a God of justice and fairness, and God is a God of love and forgiveness. God created the universe that is not in chaos. It is order. There is order. There are laws. There are laws of physics. There are laws of mathematics. There are laws of biology. There are spiritual laws, physical laws, spiritual laws, relational laws, moral laws. All created by God. Now, man has discovered those laws, and God revealed some, the moral laws, to Moses, the Israelites. But he created it all. And God gave us these laws, expecting us to obey them. Because when we break the rules don't break, they break us. If we, you know, for me, if I don't get enough sleep, I get grumpy. If I get enough sleep, I'm not grumpy. Or I might get sick if I don't get enough sleep. You know, there's a story about this guy didn't believe in gravity. So he drove himself a 50-story building. And after about 25 stories, the guy yelled, well, how's it going? Good so far. How many of us are living our lives like that? We're about to splat. Because laws, rules will break us. And laws are worthless without a consequence. What's the use of a law if there's not a consequence? So God is a God of law and order. And God is also a God of justice and fairness. So this, when this hit me, it was like, yep, that's been going on. But when, okay, if you don't raise your hand, I know you're lying and you're in church. When have you ever said, it's not fair? I know somebody over here should be raising their hand because I hear it often. It's not fair. Well, where did you get that? Now, sometimes when we say that, it's out of a selfish, you know, response. But still, where did you get that fairness from? You are made in the image of God. We have a God that is just and fair. We're made in his image. But the unfortunate thing is we can't keep his laws and his rules. And in Romans it says, for the wages of sin is death. So God, being loving and forgiving, says, well, I guess I just got to do it by myself. And that's what he did. So here are my 5 points to review, refresh, revive us, because we need this, I believe, to battle daily. We need to be reminded of this, to battle in this crazy world that we live in, of what was finished on the cross. And number one, let me see my time. Okay, 24 minutes. Jesus paid my penalty and canceled my debt. Romans 8, 3 and 4, the New Living Translation. The law of Moses could not save us, underline, could not save us, because of our sinful nature, but God put into effect a different plan to save us. He sent his own son in a human body like ours and gave his son as a sacrifice for our sins. God did this so that the requirement of the law would be fully accomplished. Underline that. Requirement of the law would be fully accomplished for us. And the rest of that verse is, who no longer follow our sinful nature, but instead follow the Spirit. Hebrews 9:15, Christ died to set people free from their penalty of the sins they committed under the first covenant. We are set free. Now, is that good news for y'all? It should be great news. Colossians 2:14, and that is in the contemporary English version, God wiped out the charges that were against us for disobeying the law of Moses. He took them away and nailed them to a cross. So wiped out the charges, nailed them to a cross. All charges are dropped and no record. Tetelestai. It's finished. Done. No need to try to repay. No try to please. You know, when we buy life insurance, there's a thing called the death benefit. When that person dies, somebody else benefits financially from them because they took out this insurance. We have the death benefit of the cross. Everything that was done on there, it benefits us. And we don't deserve it. We don't deserve it. But God loves and forgives, and that's what is called grace. That's great news. Our next verse, Hebrews 5:9, from God's Word. After Jesus had finished his work, he became the source of eternal salvation for everyone who obeys him. Finished his work, source of salvation for everyone. My second point, and this is a big one. This is one I've struggled with. But I'm now moving forward because of my relationship with the Lord. Number two, Jesus defeated the fear of death on the cross. Now, I have some news. I'm dying. But so are you. We all are. No one escapes this life. Everyone is dead. It just depends on the next. So, saying that, How did Jesus defeat the fear of death? Well, because God says so. So this morning, getting dressed, trying to figure out what to wear. I usually wear a white shirt, sometimes a jacket. But the Lord says, my word, it's black and white. Black, white. But it also has red in it. The red is what I said because I bled. It doesn't matter what I think or feel, it just matters what he said. And it doesn't matter what's going on around me, it's a matter of what he did. So he defeated the fear of death. And I think, Many people are fearful because they don't know what is coming. They don't know exactly where they're going, even to heaven. I mean, heaven is still not fully, just, you know, we get hints, but we're not fully described. But I can tell you that while I follow the Lord, he has given me hints of heaven, and one is sitting right there. Actually, three of them. But her more than the other two. No, he has come to me in dreams. Waking up, I've had hints of heaven, and it's the hints of absolute, unridiculous peace. No pain, no peace, heaven. So it hints, but we are not sure. Oh, what's heaven going to be really like? I mean, it's still a mystery. But let's read Romans 5:17. The sin of one man, Adam, caused death to rule over us. He's the dude that caused all the problems. But all who receive God's wonderful, gracious gift of righteousness will live in triumph over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ, who is also called the second Adam. Hebrews 2:14-15, Jesus became flesh and blood, being born in human form, for only as a human being could he die, and only by dying could he break the power of the devil, who had the power of death. Only in this way could he deliver those who have lived all their lives as slaves to the fear of dying. So, as I grow in my relationship with the Lord, I'm not afraid of dying. Now, I still want to hang around because there's still things that are not finished. I still would like to do stuff. I would still like to see my children grow up and have families and see their careers and their trials and their victories. I want to see grandchildren, but that's not up to me. So if God wants to take me, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go home. I'd like to hang around. Lisa and I talk about this often. Well, not often, but occasionally. But our true home is not here. But I can understand fully, if someone is not trusting in the Lord and seeking him daily, and fear will come at you. And we're going to talk about that next. But one more verse. Listen to what Jesus said, John 14:1-2. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. Trust him. There is more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? Trust. Number three, Jesus broke Satan's power to mess my life up. To mess up my life. And it's funny, I don't know why it's happening lately, but I'll read something or something will happen and a song comes in my head. And the last time I was doing this message, actually a few, you might hear me sing, and that might be not a good thing, but when we were down in Florida, Lisa had to leave early, and this song pops in my head. I'm going like, I know what. So I start singing it, not well, but it was KC and the Sunshine Band. Please don't go, don't go, don't walk away, please don't go. Don't go, I'm begging you to stay. That's the last you'll hear me sing, maybe even one more time. But I don't know why, so I've read stuff, and it's like, I've not heard that song in decades, but Lord's good. So life is hard. I mean, if you're not in a battle right now, you're going to be in one. Storm's coming. If you're in the storm, you know, it's hard. There is a spiritual battle going on. If you don't believe there's a spiritual battle going on, you're deceiving yourself, because it is, and you're a pawn. You're a pawn, but you have power if you trust. Satan hates you. God is a creator. Satan's a destroyer. Satan hates everything that God has created, and that means you. That means your wife, your husband, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your fill in the blank. And that's who he's after. And well, the power of the cross, you are defenseless. I mean, you look at what is going on in our society right now. Suicides are way up. Hopelessness is way up. Because they're hoping in the things of this world and not the things of the Lord. So Satan basically uses two things that I found that he tries to take you off track and will whisper into your ear, and they are temptation and condemnation. He will use things, he will whisper in your ear to tempt you, and he'll minimize it. Oh, don't worry, go ahead. Take that, drink that, eat that, do that. Everybody else is. It's all right. Everybody's doing it. And then, when you do it, are you kidding me? You are a follower of Christ and you did that? How is he going to bless you? You got to be kidding me. You're worthless. You're not nothing. You'll never be anything. You will not. You might as well just give up. That's what he does. He minimizes and maximizes. But the cross. Colossians 1:13, God rescued us from the dark power of Satan and brought us into the kingdom of his dear son. Colossians 1:13. And because of the cross, I can resist temptation. 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. And because of the cross, I can reject condemnation. God took away Satan's power. This is Colossians 2:15. God took away Satan's power to accuse you of sin, and God openly displayed to the whole world Christ's triumph at the cross, where your sins were all taken away. So let's think about that a minute. Everything you've done, it's finished. Tetelestai. So how can you be accused if it's already been paid for? That's freedom, if you trust and believe it. But that's not to say, okay, well, I'm just going to go wacko crazy and live my life like I want it. Now, you have that choice. Willingly, you can choose that. There are going to be consequences for that. But it's already been paid for. That's a freedom that I finally discovered in a place far away. It's like going to the judge. You have all these charges against you that have been written up, and they might be true, not true, half true. And then you get to court, the judge is sitting there, and he goes to the prosecutor, okay, let's hear the charges. And the prosecutor picks up a blank piece of paper. We don't have anything. Then you are dismissed, you're free. We don't even know what they are. And that's the same with the Lord. We just remember. And Satan definitely remembers. So the penalty is paid. There's no debt that the devil can accuse you of. He has no power over us. Number four, Jesus created a family that includes all races. And there's another song maybe in a minute. So in Jesus' time, there were Jews and Gentiles. If you were not a Jew, you were a Gentile. Is anybody Jewish here? You are a Gentile. Okay, they only looked at one or the other. So the Jews, you know, were the chosen race. God chose them to show God, share God. They didn't do a great job. So now the Lord has chosen the church to do that, the body of Christ. Ephesians 2:14, for Christ himself is our way of peace. He has made peace between us Jews and you Gentiles by making us all one family, breaking down the wall of contempt that used to separate us. Ephesians 2:19, now you who are not Jewish, all of us, are not foreigners or strangers any longer, but are citizens together with God's holy people. You belong to God's family. So this is a song that popped in my head. This comes from childhood. This is a long time ago. My kids will not know it. I would say, I don't know, we'll see. Raise your hand if you recognize this song. Now I'll forget it. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. That's awesome. I don't know where, you know, I just, yep. So you guys need to learn it. You know, pass on to the next generation, keep it, you know. You know, and I went, you know, I went to Sunday school as a kid, definitely was not saved in that process. But it was part of the process, right? I mean, God knows the timing, all that, and he is so good. And it's a good childhood memory. Okay, last one. We have 7 minutes. Might take you a little longer because you guys were late. I'm just saying. I'm a guy that's on time. You know, that's my life. On-time departures. On-time arrivals. Early. But we're not going to be early today. Sorry, because you were late. Number 5. Jesus guarantees your salvation. Now this, this is going to be a touchy subject. Okay? Don't fight with me. Fight with God. Look into the scripture. If you don't trust and believe and agree with what I am saying, we'll have a discussion. That's great. I will show you what I've discovered, what I've lived, what I've experienced, and you the same. You know, everything I've said today, you should be verifying yourself. Everything that's said every week, anything that's said about God, you need to take back to the Word. I'm a human. I am flawed. I make mistakes. Discover yourself. It's the most stolen book in the world. There's copies all over the place. It's in the internet. I mean, come on. Okay. But churches have split over this. Churches have started, failed because of this statement. Jesus guarantees your salvation. It's like, the more I know Jesus, the more I totally agree with him, because he's Jesus. He's God, I'm not. And we've already read a lot of verses today that says just that. It is finished. Tetelestai. Tetelestai. See, I even said it wrong. I can't save myself. Jesus does it all. Once I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord and God raised him from the dead, I am saved. Doesn't have to be a long, drawn-out prayer that man has created. It's just come to him. He had open arms up there for 6 hours waiting for us. So here's Philippians 1:6. Paul, I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. I'm not done with you yet, is what he's saying. I'm not done. I'm not finished. There's a lot of work still to be done on me. Now, one of the things that I've been hoping that God would work on me, and it, you know, one of those things where you try to, hey, God, you know, you need to fix this on me, please. And it usually doesn't happen. He usually puts a lot more stuff in that situation when you say that. It's like the patience thing. You know, you want to pray for patience, and then the chaos. Well, one of my things is judging. Now, we all judge. If you say I don't judge, that's your second lie in church, and I'll pray for you. Judging. We judge people all the time. And I just want God to give me the lens of his, give me his eyes, and just love. I don't want to judge because, you know, I just have to look at myself. How many mistakes I've made? How many mistakes I do make? How many mistakes I'm going to make today? And so we are all works in progress. So we're not going to be done. We're not going to be done until the day when Christ returns. We could be totally off the deep end. And when Jesus comes back, it'll be finished. It's finished. You know, I know I'm going to make, well, I shouldn't say I know. Unfortunately, I'm going to make some bad decisions. Unfortunately, I'm going to make some wrong choices, and it's because I'm human. But that shouldn't be an excuse. I still should be striving to obedience and to follow Jesus. But Jesus says, I will not lose my salvation. He says it in his word. Now, I may lose things for my choices. You know, I could lose my job. I could lose my family. I could lose my bank account. I could lose my looks. It's just, you know, I've already lost those. So you don't really. I could lose my mind. But he says, I'm not going to lose him. That is some great news. Message, Ephesians 2:8. Saving is all his idea and all his work. All we can do is trust in him enough to let him do it. It's God's gift from start to finish. When we all die, when you die, when I die, we're all going to have unfinished business. It's no doubt. But there's one thing that's done, and that's our salvation. See, it's religion and Jesus. Religion is due. Jesus is done. He's done it all. Religion is due. I got to do this. I got to be this way. I got to look this way. I got to talk this way. I got to act this way. I can't do these things. That's judging, actually. So here's Jesus again, John 10:28. I got King James in there for you, New King James. And what does he say? Let's read it together. And can it get any clearer than that? But Paul, a little backstory, Paul will ask you, have you tested your faith? Are you up for the test? Have you passed the test? That's some of the wackadoodle churches that he was dealing with in the past. So to close, I got one more verse, a little bit. Tom, when I start the verse, you guys can come up for the offering, all right? So if you want security in this life, you need to build it on a solid foundation. A foundation that's not going to move. It needs to be anchored to the bedrock of Jesus. He is our cornerstone. He is our foundation. If you're not, your foundation is going to shift, tilt, possibly collapse at a great cost. Now, there's a lot of times we'll build our foundation on people, on what people have told us. Pastors, Sunday school teachers, we will build our foundation on that because, and it might be a little tilted. It might not be quite true because they're human beings. They make mistakes. They might have told you something wrong. And if you don't discover and search and seek for yourself through this book and through fellowship and through questions, you might be a little off. You might be way off. So if you put your security in your job, in your money, in your abilities, again, in your looks, your feelings. If you put your security in your boyfriend and your husband and your wife and your children, that all can and most likely will be taken away from you, especially at the end, because you have nothing. You don't take anything with you. I can lose everything, but I can't lose my salvation. I cannot lose the love of my Savior. So one more verse, Acts 10, 34, 35. This is Peter in the Message version of the Bible. And it's funny how the Message starts it. Peter fairly exploded. Man, that must be some pretty good news if he exploded. It's God's own truth. Nothing could be plainer. God plays no favorites. It makes no difference who you are, where you're from. You already heard the song, right? I don't know if it's Backstreet Boys or who you are, where you're from, as long as you love me. And nobody? No? Doesn't say? That's how good I sing. All right. If you want God and are ready to do as he says, the door is open. Jesus is always our example. He was a great example when he hung on this cross, on the cross. The cross is supposed to be a symbol of hope, but he willingly hung there for us. You know, when he asked us to follow him, it was not out of, you got to follow me, man. Come on. You got to go. You don't have any choice. Let's go. No. It's willingly. He willingly asked us to follow him. He willingly asked us to die to ourselves. He willingly asked us to pick up your cross and follow him. It's a free will choice. Because if we do follow him, man, we get rich. Rich. Rich in forgiveness, rich in peace, rich in love, rich in joy. Whatever comes. Because we are standing on a solid rock. Because he said, it is finished. Tetelestai. So as the guys come up, we're going to pray for our offering. I'm going to prayer. The altar will be open. Father, we are so thankful for this place. And even though it's under construction and needs repairs, we know you hold it together. And I just thank you for this place that we can come and gather and speak your name and declare you King. Bless this offering that we are about to take, Father. Bless those who give. Encourage those to give. You are such a generous God. We should be generous with what you've given us. Father, thank you for sending Jesus to save us. Thank you, Jesus, for dying so that we can live forever with you. You have canceled our debt for all the wrong we've done. You have defeated death, given us power to resist temptation and to reject condemnation, all because of the cross. You have created all of us to be a family in worship, your body, your church. And the greatest of all, you will never let us be snatched out of your hand. Continue to work on us, in us, and through us so that our light will shine and everyone will know we are yours. And I pray right now, Father, if there's someone in this room that doesn't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, now is a great time. Time is short. We just have to repent, believe, and receive that gracious, wonderful gift. Believe that you died for our sin, a debt paid in full, and you rose again, defeating death. It is finished. Tetelestai. In Jesus' name.